following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's good to be back once again. It's hard to believe a week has gone by, but in any event, a lot has happened this week in Washington. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but we're going to start this show again, as we normally do, by asking the question, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money? Or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life, which is what we try to do. We're planners. Most CPAs are reporters that simply focus on what happened last year, and you're seeing that in live living color right now as your planner is, as your reporter, is focused on trying to get tax returns filed by April 15th or April 18th this year, for those of you that weren't aware. And in the business that we're in as CPAs, having three extra days is like living to your 95, I guess, if we're going to put it in normal life. It's a good thing, or it can be a good thing. In any event, we're going to, as other shows claim, going to help work on your financial freedom, although we're going to do it in a fashion that actually will double your financial freedom over the manner that others talk about, including a show I'm going to reference several times here today, which comes on before my show, and it's one of the leading old school, I'm going to refer to it as a travel agent type platform, meaning that you got to join, you got to pay big money to join if you want to go into the cream of the crop in terms of the real estate investments that they have available for you, the real estate private partnership syndications. And it's, you know, you hear the comment, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, many times from this crowd. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Their annual real estate expo event was a couple weeks ago, and there was a lot of lifestyle being discussed on the keynote by the founder. And We'll have a little bit of insights into that, just so you can understand more about this old school membership based platform that you don't really need much anymore. And I think it might explain in part why the attendance was so low at this year's event. But in any event, we'll come back to that. So, with this show for the next hour approximately, we're going to talk about ways to deal with the current tax levels that we have. And then when you see what's coming, you're going to understand why now is the time. If you're thinking about Roth conversions, we want to get your money over to a spot where you've already paid the government their share. And for those of you that think, well, you know, I've got $1 million in my 401k plan at the office, unless it's in the Roth side of a 401k, which is possible these days. More and more large companies are adding that option, although there's still some limitations on how much you can get in due to the average contribution level by other employees. We include that in every self-directed 401 trust that we create, and since it's only you, it's a single employee plan, you can do the maximum, which this year is $67,500. It's a lot of money, okay, in terms of catching up for those of you that are behind, which is most people that connect with me. So if you're behind on your retirement living, you know, learn how, you know, listen to the show, fill out our intake forms if you'd like me to illustrate in live living color how these rules can apply to you. But learn how to, one, access your retirement money to invest in real estate private partnerships. Two, learn how to exploit, optimize the tax code to get your pre-tax dollars over to after-tax on the most tax-efficient basis possible. And I'm suggesting to you that if you're in the right investments, your tax base for that Roth conversion can drop down as much as 60 to 70% if you time it right to get your money over into the tax-free side. In other words, we're going to tell the government, hey, here's how much you're getting. You're going to write that check, and it's going to be approximately 30 to 40% of the number that you would pay if you were doing this when it's sitting at Charles Schwab or Fidelity or wherever. So it's a big deal, and it's an especially big deal when you look at what's being proposed. Again, reminds me of an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where the punchline, I guess, is it's back. And the Build Back Better Act is back, but they're being very careful not to call it that, but it is embedded in the 2023 Biden budget proposal that was just released about a week ago. I'm going to suggest that with the Roth, you know, people, it's fuzzy. You know, people don't understand the Roth 401 rules are a bit different than the Roth IRA. And everybody thinks, or at least a lot of my clients that make too much money to make an overt Roth contribution this year, they think there's no way they can make a Roth contribution, when in fact the Roth contribution for a Roth 401 is significantly higher. In fact, there is no income limit. There's merely a contribution limit. And when I say there's no income limit, I mean there's no limit at the top. You do have to have self-employment income at the bottom, at least with the self-directed 401 trust model that we execute. But suffice it to say that dollar for dollar in net self-employment income, if you're an attorney, accountant, realtor, consultant, etc., if you make approximately $75,000 net on 1099s or in your S-Corp, etc., you can contribute $67,500 this year. If you're over the age of 50, you get the catch-up, and that's going up if this Secure Act 2.0, which is another piece of legislation moving parallel to the budget proposal through Congress. So there's a lot of good things happening for the Roth 401. In any event, we're going to go to our first break. We'll be back here shortly with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. If you want to ask a question, send me a text to 713-581-0195. Thank you.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Has your teen received their meningitis B vaccine? Patty Wukovitz, Executive Director of the Kimberly Coffee Foundation, shares her story.
My daughter Kimberly was a healthy high school senior when she came home from school complaining that her entire body was in pain.
As a nurse and a mother, I became immediately concerned. When the doctors confirmed Kimberly had meningococcal meningitis, I learned that the MenACWY meningitis vaccine that Kimberly had received did not protect her against meningitis B. Kimberly was fighting for her life. The most difficult decision I ever had to make was to remove my beautiful daughter from life support. Two different meningitis vaccines, MenACWY and MenB, are needed to help protect your child against meningococcal meningitis, which is the most common form of bacterial meningitis in adolescents. Parents of teens and young adults, be sure to talk to your child's doctor about how to help prevent meningitis B.
Learn more at meningitisbactionproject.org. This message is brought to you by the Kimberly Coffee Foundation with support from Pfizer.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world, and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before we went to the break, we were talking about some pending, I guess you could call it legislation. It's actually a budget proposal that would involve certain legislation being passed as part of it. And you may recall back late last year, September, October, et cetera, there was the Build Back Better Act that, that was considered in Congress, and it was significant trillions of dollars, and so it kept getting chopped back as Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema complained and would not make that necessary 50th vote to pass the legislation. So, you know, they've gone back to the drawing board a bit, and now they're seeking to kind of peel off much of the same provisions. And, of course, they're not calling it the Build Back Better Act. It's now referred to as the tax year, well, let's just call it the Biden budget proposal. And then embedded in that are the tax proposals, which are seemingly very out of step with the industrialized world. In fact, if you look at the tax rates that will come into play, we're, as a country, the U.S. will be significantly higher than, I guess, the G7 average. I've forgotten exactly which tier of developed economies was taken into effect here. I'm looking at an article on Tax Foundation, org, I believe it is, that is a, yeah, it is, it's taxfoundation.org, which has an analysis, and they show you essentially how out of whack these proposals are in terms of generating additional deficit, which, as you know, we talk about this on a weekly basis. We will be out of money by the year 2029-30 as a country, and what I mean by that is, is that unless we raise tax rates, the remaining portion of what we call the discretionary part of the budget, which is money that's not already committed. So this year, as an example, we're going to raise, I believe it's $5.3 trillion, or that's what we're on track to collect, which is a lot of money. And in fact, I'm not sure it's the highest of all time, but it's up there. And yet we're still going to have a deficit. And yet the crowd in Washington, the Biden administration particularly, is talking about the reduction in the deficit that they're going to achieve. And then if you listen closely, it's kind of like they clear their throat and say over 10 years. Okay, so it's not near as much as they would have you to think. And the problem is, unless we're reversing the deficit, not just cutting it about 10%, that's not going to do anything for us as we approach the year 2029, 2030, which is when the train wreck occurs. We're out of money, and that's going to have a condition where we won't be able to pay all the interest on the debt. That's bad news, folks. That's a depression worse than 1929 will occur in 2029. And so, you know, I'm not against raising taxes per se. I mean, I don't like paying them any more than you do, but I'd take that over the point where you can't sell your debt on your deficit spending because you can't pay the interest on the debt. And you think, you know, it's going to be easy to continue to sell debt. I would suggest that the rates are going to go way up on the few people that will still be willing to buy the treasuries that we sell, right? So, and then you've also got some other things in play right now. I think this week we saw the inverted yield curve raise its head again, which is not a good thing. If you look at history, it's when, in this case, the two-year treasury sells flip places with the 10-year. It should be the reverse in terms of returns. That would portend of a recession here soon, and who knows? I mean, these things are not always, history doesn't always predict, but it's normally a pretty good chance that a recession will happen when those conditions apply. In any event, the tax increase that's embedded in this plan, it's, again, it's very similar, if it's not identical, to what was in the Build Back Better last year. And effectively, it's targeted to high-income individuals and businesses. The corporate tax rate is proposed to go from 21% to 28%. So guess who will be paying more for products, goods, and services? It won't be the corporate companies that are filing those tax returns paying the taxes. That'll get passed down to us, just like the inflation tax affects everybody. And, of course, the administration is going to sell this as, oh, it'll generate an extra $1.3 trillion over 10 years. Okay, so if I'm doing the math correctly, $1.3 trillion would be what, $100 billion, $130 billion, I guess? It's not a drop in the bucket, certainly, but it does nothing to address the fact that we've got at least a $30 trillion dollar budget or deficit, I'm sorry, and that's all that we'll admit to. The real deficit's actually north of 130 if you factored in all the things that we've already either legislated or approved, et cetera, like indexing on assorted benefits, Social Security, Medicare, et cetera. The real deficit's 130. If you were a company reporting on your earnings and reporting your balance sheets, you would have to include that 130 trillion on your balance sheet, not the 30. So in any event, you know, the head fakes, the mirrors, the smoke and mirrors that are being used, it's like we always see in Washington. It's the reason that most of us don't like politicians. We don't like the fact that they will legislate things that only make them look good in the short term. You know, we're spending on this, we're spending on that. I saw a comment yesterday, Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer, the two senators, saying that Biden needs to make a statement about how much in student loan debt. They're not just going to pause. That's what's going on right now. They're pausing the payments. They're going to forgive them, okay? And, you know, we could get into a long discussion about the equity in that type of decision. You know, all the folks that, you know, don't have student loans now, but did and somehow found a way to pay them off. You know, it seems to me it's rather inequitable. And I'm sure there's even some minorities in that group probably that could argue that it's a racial thing, that they're not getting their loans forgiven. And you know, I'm sure there's some males and females, so it's a gender issue as well. But it only matters when it's, you know, suits their objectives. So we're going to watch, and I'm assuming at some point you're likely going to see the proposal to eliminate a huge swath of student loan debt. In any event, I think one of the most unbelievable attempts with this tax proposal, and I don't think it's going to work. I know Senator Manchin's already come out and said he just doesn't see it, is the attempt to tax unrealized gains. That is unbelievable that here in our lifetime we are even talking about a proposal. And again, it was first brought up last year's budget proposal, taxing unrealized gains at death and raising the top tax rate on capital gains and dividends from 20% to 39.6%. This proposal, according to some economists, would shrink the economy by 0.3%. So it's a third of 1%, which is not insignificant. And it would eliminate 27,000 jobs, just this one proposal. And that, but again, forget about the math here, the numbers. Just the fact that they would try to tax unrealized capital gains of high net worth taxpayers, that's just crazy. And you know, the in history, we've never taxed anything that was actually liquidated. There was a gain involved. The taxpayer had the money in their bank account, or perhaps they had reinvested it, which is what happens a lot of times, and that's the benefit. But bottom line is, it sends a signal of what's coming. And whether it's this time or in the future, you know, creating and growing successful companies in America is no longer welcome. And I think we've suspicioned that for a while now. In any event, before we go to the break, I wanted to pick back up, circling back to the Real Estate Expo event that happened a couple weeks ago. I just wanted to read, you know, after the event that took place, was for those of you that weren't there, it's very hush-hush. None of the people that are there, at least most of them, are not talking about it. I've seen many emails go out across that group's internal communication systems that have apologies galore, and many of them are from the folks that lead the transaction. So they're closing ranks very quickly behind self-made millionaire, who I affectionately call, and I like self-made millionaire, don't get me wrong, but when he acts like a, instead of self-made millionaire, it's more like a suicide bomber, and when he gets in a hole, he just keeps digging. And, you know, I look at the apologies, and it's crazy. You know, here's one I'm just going to read, and I'm not going to identify the people, don't mean to cause any harm there, but they talk about their family walking out of the keynote address, plain and simple, right after it began, and should come as no surprise, we were sickened by what was said. This is from the podium now. When we walked into the open highway, we were heartbroken to witness so many emotions of those who had also walked out. And I'm just going to tell you that what took place was more akin to the Super Bowl halftime show, where it was hip-hop, rap music type lyrics, if you will, and, you know, people of color, racial slurs, misogynistic talk, women were involved, and not in a good way. And I suspect it was somewhat infused with alcohol from the night before. This was a fairly early morning address. And, you know, when I see all the apologies that have obviously been dictated from the top, the organization, including self-made millionaire's apology himself, which I don't think he wrote it. I've seen his writing style many times over the last 20 years when I was a member and also a vendor. But, you know, the biggest issue, or the biggest, I guess, item he would have you to believe in his apology is that, you know, when he prepared the keynote, he actually prepared these remarks. That's what's amazing. I mean, it's hard to believe he wasn't off script. But supposedly the message was supposed to be edgy, was supposed to be somewhat uncomfortable. Boy, that's an understatement. Very uncomfortable, according to those that were there. And, you know, words were used that were hurtful and offensive. But to his credit, some of the words were actually the lyrics from a popular rap music song. Why, my goodness, can you imagine? But many of the people there didn't know that. Yeah, I'm willing to bet you most of them didn't know it, because when you're talking about, as was mentioned on the show here today, right before mine, we're talking about family and faith. I mean, the gentleman that was on the show that had successfully retired, quote unquote, he was talking about, you know, family and faith. It's like, wow. Well, that's the issue with many of these groups that are on the air, is all you hear about on the radio is the warm fuzzy material. You're not really given too much of the actual things that go on in these organizations until, you know, you've spent your money and you're not in the anomaly that retires in 5 years, or even now they're saying 2.5 years is their average member retiring. That's mathematically impossible unless you've got a lot of money to get started and you don't define retirement as more than about $60,000 a year after tax, or you're taking the lead partner role in a transaction. So I, you know, I'll tell you, there are ways that happens, but it's not the mainstream. It's absolutely an anomaly. And the thing that's not an anomaly is how from the top of this organization, they're true in their true heart, is more in touch with hip hop and Thugsville, as I would call it, than it is with your family, your family's net worth, your family's financial freedom. And as you know, when we talk about the 401 trust, which we're going to do here momentarily again, if these organizations, including Self-Made Millionaire, who I've actually spoken with personally about the 401 trust, if they actually had your family's financial freedom as a priority, they would not continue to tell people to send the billions of dollars to the IRS. Heard it again on the show right before mine today. The gentleman that achieved $1 million, you know, 5 times increase on the 401 that he cashed out, $225,000 he took out. I'm not sure how he got it down into the 10% tax bracket, but that's what was alleged on the narrative, is that it netted to 200, which that's somewhat impossible unless he's in a trader business that was generating losses. I mean, the minimum tax bracket would have been somewhere in the 12% range, although I suppose maybe if he had significant deductions somewhere, might have happened. But bottom line is they act like that increase in value can only happen if you take your money out of the 401. They totally hide the fact that you don't have to take your money out of the 401 to do this. You can roll it over to a self-directed 401 trust, even if you're under the age of 59 and a half and you don't want to quit your employment. And we'll tell you how to do that. And, you know, you can do all the things that they talk about on the air, you know, with the money you make from real estate. You can get cash flow, equity capture, market appreciation, principal pay down, and tax advantages. In fact, it's the biggest single tax advantage you're ever going to get in your life, is when you can pull a couple $100,000 out of a 401 and effectively turn that into $1 million or more, and you can pay yourself. You constantly hear how, when's the last time your 401 was able to do that? As if saying it loudly and from the front of the room or on the radio somehow makes it true. Well, it's anything but the truth. And if you don't understand how you can do that, hey, go to the baplanner.com website and complete our forms, our intake forms, sit at the top right, and then schedule a call. I'll be happy to show you a custom illustration of your retirement funds and other monies that you have to invest. I'll show you what the real estate private partnership syndication arena is all about. And I'll even help you exploit the platforms, the travel agent platforms. If you really want to pay somebody $20,000 to be part of a club, okay, let's do that, and I'll help you keep from getting exploited. And the first thing we'll do is make sure that we show you how to optimize your retirement fund so that you can do everything that the gentleman on the air described today, except you will double his million. You'll end up with $2 million because you didn't send money to the IRS. That organization, by the way, has sent billions to the IRS with the advice they give on taxes. And I'm going to suggest, you know, they talk about, you know, the thing you want to do is listen to subject matter experts. That's within the organization, obviously, within their mentor folks, etc. But they never quite get there on the tax front. And I'm going to remind you what Red Adair, famous Houston-based oil and gas well or oil well firefighter, used to say: if you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I think of that every time I hear these folks again today say that you do the unconventional. Yeah, I would agree. Sending billions of dollars to the IRS is anything but conventional unless you listen to amateurs give you tax advice. So in any event, I can only tell you, hey, question, let's get your money rolled over, and then believe a lot of what you hear about real estate private syndications, although, again, understanding the math, which is what we'll help you with, we'll make sure you understand what you're signing up for before you invest in these transactions, so that at least from a pro forma standpoint, you're looking at transactions that will get you to your objective. We're going to go ahead and take another break. We'll be back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Tax Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
I am a seeker and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me. Shelter of your care each day. Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader. Won't you show me the way?
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just mentioning the concept of using your retirement money. Instead of using it to to help pay down the national debt, maybe. Although that's not what it's going to go for. It's going to go for all manner of green technology if the current group in Washington has their way. But if you, you know, if you want to pay tax, we can help you do that within the bounds of the 401 trust. And it's, again, called a Roth conversion. So that if you're the type that, believes tax rates are going up, which I do, absolutely believe that, and they'll go up by operation of law if Congress doesn't do anything currently. Let's just assume none of these tax rules that have been proposed were to occur. January 1, 2026, the tax brackets revert to where they were before the 2017 Tax Act. Okay, and you may say, well, you know, those rates aren't that much higher. Well, the rates may not be on the bounds, on the edges, but the brackets are cut back in half so that depending on where you're at income-wise, it could be a significant rate increase, even though the edges are still roughly, you know, the 43%, I guess, 43.8 if we went back to a 39% bracket with adding on the net investment income tax, 3.8% sliver, i.e. the Obamacare tax, we call it colloquially. But in any event, you know, just touching back or going back a little bit to the show that comes on behind or ahead of mine, and I like the discussion today. I just wish people didn't have to listen to the bad tax advice, but you know, they talk about copying others that have already joined the organization to mirror the results. And I keep thinking, I can't help but think, copy somebody that takes $200,000 out of a retirement account to put into multifamily when the gross takeout supposedly was 225. I don't think that's right. I think there's something else going on there. If you added the 225,000 coming out of a retirement account, and by the way, I believe this gentleman was less than 59 and a half, so he actually paid a penalty. It's not just the taxes. So I suspect maybe that's what he's referring to here. So it really netted much less once you throw the tax on as well. But let's assume he understands it correctly, which as an amateur is probably not the case. But $200,000, and you're telling me that I want to copy that? Even if he's telling us the truth that that turned into $1 million, why wouldn't we want it to turn into $2 million? Which is what would have happened. And, you know, as excited as the host of the show was to, you know, have this repeated, the story, he never once had an understanding that, you know, this, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I guess it's kind of like winning a race and, you know, your time is less than half of what the record is, where, you know, you really, what'd you accomplish really? You know, you did half as good as you might have, or somebody else has. In fact, I've got clients that have their money working in the same multifamily investments. In fact, I'm willing to bet you it's some of the same investments that this gentleman is in at that organization, and they are doubling the amount of their throughput because they don't pay tax within the self-directed trust until they take the money out, and then they pay just a sliver on what they're taking out. And by the way, they don't have to wait till they get old to do that. They can do that next week if we adopt the trust, and they'll pay their tax, and if they're under 59 and a half, they'll pay the penalty, but it's only on a smidgen, okay? And so, you know, if you run the numbers out over the next 30 years of your life, as I do, by the way, at beaplanner.com, if you'll take a look at the bottom of that homepage, you'll see a very colorful illustration, and you're going to see that on a $350,000 401 or IRA, if you go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off that 401 and pay the IRS, which is how you're going to hear that described at Self-Made Millionaire's two-day workshop once a month, then in fact, that's going to be about a $95,000 dollar tax bill. I'm not quite sure, again, where they're getting this $225, and I'm assuming that's the penalty. But let's just assume that if you did that in the real world with professionals doing your tax reporting, you're going to find you owe about $95,000 on $350. And what I show you, if you look at the bottom left corner of that illustration under the key metrics, is that $95,000 going to the IRS instead of going to some other lead partners that are putting out investment opportunities is going to cost you it's almost $25 million over the next 30 years. And I understand before everybody starts shooting at me about, well, you're assuming this, you're assuming that. You know what I'm assuming? I'm assuming that just like Self-Made Millionaire and just like the host of the show right before mine today say send it now, today, before you get started. As the host said today, look at all the money you're going to make on that money. Did your 401 ever do that? You know, at the company, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to suggest to you that at the traditional 401 at the big company, what he's referring to is absolutely correct. But there's a whole other world out there that these, quote, gurus don't understand, or they do understand in the case of Self-Made Millionaire, because I personally have had extensive phone calls with him trying to get him to understand. The reality is he doesn't care. He really doesn't care about your family's net worth. If you can do it in spite of the bad tax advice, wonderful. You can come on the radio and talk about it. Be happy to promote your experience. But most people, once you see the math illustrated, would question the sanity of whoever's telling you, regardless of what they've done. I don't care what they've achieved. If they were happy to settle for half, let's not let you be happy to settle for half. How about we stack the deck for your success, right? By keeping the dollars that you would send to the IRS invested in transactions that even Self-Made Millionaire says will earn somewhere 10 to 30% on average per year. And I've seen that. I've absolutely seen it. Transactions that were produced on that platform for 20 years. So I will fully stipulate the vehicles there. Now, it's not every transaction. And, you know, I've seen transactions that might earn 2%. Some, I don't think I've seen one that lost money, but it's possible. You know, it's probably happened. I just didn't have clients in them. But all I'm suggesting is it's an asset space that generally provides above average rates of return. I fully stipulate to the model. I like the model. I just despise the amateur tax advice. And I can't say that often enough or loudly enough. And I'll call it out, just like I'll call out the behavior of those at the top of that organization every chance I get. It's not right that you're lulled into complacency thinking, oh, this is a community of loving Christian people. There are a lot of loving Christian people, and in fact, it amazes me at times the number of folks that are drawn in that are, and I'm going to suggest to you that those are the folks you want to connect with, and those are the folks you want to invest with. Some wonderful people represented in that group. Absolutely. But any event, you know, I am just going to always caution you, whether it's my show or any other show, don't just run out and execute these strategies. Let's check with your existing advisors. Let's make sure they may not agree. I understand most financial planners aren't going to agree that you can make this kind of money in real estate. In fact, I have a lot of those same financial planners come to us that are actually working in the business, come to us to learn how to invest in real estate private placements. And I'm happy to help you with that. I understand, hey, we all got to make a living, and you know, I may not necessarily like what others do to make a living. That's not my call. My call is to help you invest whatever you've got available to make more money in an asset space that absolutely works, at least for most people. In any event, let's see here. I wanted to talk just briefly. Well, not just briefly. I want to probably finish off the show here. We've only got about 7 or 8 minutes left. talking about the 401 trust, because again, it's critical that you understand this option as you're sitting here now with some retirement money and you're hearing about these investments and you're thinking, like I, that this may be a great spot, not maybe, it is a great spot to have your money as the economy starts to act a bit erratically. Most people have to have a roof over their head, right? And so that's why the apartment space continues to do well, even in the face of the inflation that we're having and with COVID still lingering, and who knows, COVID may be back. At least it's solved for the moment, right? The progressives, the Democrats have managed to solve the COVID conundrum now that the November elections are coming on. Hopefully we'll have a sea change in Washington and the Republicans will actually stand up and be counted, and we won't see shutdowns again, which I would suggest cause more damage than COVID ever thought about causing when you look at the massive number of business owners that were affected and lost their life's creation, with small businesses, et cetera. And, again, nobody seems to factor that in. And nobody seems to factor in, other than common sense people, that, we both know people that had all the vaccines and boosters and still passed away from COVID or still gave it to someone else. And I think it just goes to show that maybe the media and the pharmas pulled a fast one on us, which I don't think there's any doubt. But hey, you do what you feel led to do. It's easy for me sitting back here in Thailand, where until Delta, we had 61 mortalities out of 61 million or 71 million people. Since then, we've kind of caught up. But bottom line is, I'm not working for a company that mandated I take the jab. The experimental gene therapy jab is what I'm going to call it. And I take a healthy dose of supplements and, things, Thai root extract that you don't have there. And thus far, knock on wood, I'm doing okay. And I understand the math. I understand that most people in America probably can't avoid some form of COVID. And be that as it may, the vaccine doesn't seem to have much of an impact. And before you say, it's a less severe case of COVID, I don't know about that. I know people that got COVID that didn't even know they had it at the time, that hadn't been vaccinated. So anyway, okay, well, we're coming up to the end of this week's show. Wait a minute, maybe we've got a few more minutes here. The 401 trust. So you're working at a company, you're under age 59 and a half, and you don't want to quit your job because you got good money coming in, and you don't hate your job like some of the self-made millionaires' comments would suggest you should. I've got clients that make $1 million plus or more a year in a W-2 job. That'll take some of the bitterness out of that job. You won't mind going to the cubicle every day, et cetera, if you're able to take those kind of income streams home and have a significant net worth for your family. So, if you have agreed after attending some webinars or some in-person meetings with some of these platforms that you would like to use your retirement money, how do you get it? And in the great state of Texas, if you're married, you have the opportunity to access those funds by repartitioning the assets over to your better half, to your spouse, i.e. the non-participant in those retirement funds. That's something we do routinely. Have never made it to the finish line with anybody we've been engaged to do that for, and it's not myself. It is a legal maneuver. I have an attorney on board that handles that, and never been rejected. The courts that he files in understand the rule that the Department of Labor will talk about. If you want to go to the DOL's, Department of Labor's QUDRO, QDRO is the acronym, FAQ. You can Google that term and you will see that PDF come up, and it explains one of the bullets in it. It explains that you don't have to be getting a divorce, which if you've even heard of a quadro, it's usually in that context. Any of you that have gone through a divorce that had significant retirement assets or any retirement assets probably had to deal with the judge splitting those assets. That's the same legal maneuver or statute that we operate under, except the Department of Labor very clearly says you don't have to have a divorce claim, that you simply have to comport with domestic relations or state domestic relations law. In Texas, as you know, I'm sure, is community property. It's a somewhat liberal or flexible version of community property, unlike other states like California, which requires there to be some type of dispute, so maybe a separation, et cetera, to undertake the quadro. So in any event, it is possible. Your HR department will not know that option. So when you ask them, they're going to tell you the familiar refrain, you've got to be at least 59 and a half or terminate your job. And I just want to make you aware there is another option, and it takes the employer out of it. HR doesn't have an input in this decision. It's between you and your spouse as to how you execute the declaratory judgments, the legal name for the document that we ask the judge to approve. So for those of you that think you would like to invest but you don't have the money, well, now you realize you do. And now you realize there's a way of putting it to work on top of or in addition to any money you already have saved in money markets or index funds or the market. And, you know, I think it's critical to understand the difference in the asset space with real estate private partnerships involving apartments. You don't see nearly the extreme ups and downs in the market. It happens, but it's over a more pronounced period. And I would suggest to you that, again, everyone needs a place to live. And so, you know, there's a way to diversify your real estate partnerships. And the beauty about the syndication market is that it's national. You can invest in transactions in California, in South Carolina, Dallas, Austin, Houston, you know, here in Texas, and diversification is investing in different markets. And of course, you can still invest your 401 trust in market-based assets. We can open an account at Fidelity, Charles Schwab, UBS, etc. You're the trustee. You control the checkbook just like you do when you're investing in real estate transactions. And the benefit of doing this through a 401 versus, you've probably heard that an IRA can also be self-directed. The difference is the IRA will pay a separate layer of tax. The IRA pays the tax. Plus, you're going to pay the tax when you take money out to live, whereas the 401 is exempt from that extra layer of tax. We refer to that as UBIT or UDFI. These are acronyms for unrelated business income tax, and it's applied because there's leverage. There's a mortgage on these assets. Even if you're doing this through a partnership, buying an apartment building, there's going to be debt on that transaction, and so that's why that tax will apply if it's an IRA. The 401 is the only vehicle under the code, whether it's taxable or retirement funds, that gets a pass, gets an exemption on tax on that transaction. And so if you have a $100,000 gain, you've got $100,000 extra dollars to go into the next investment when you exit the first one. And so it's a significant benefit compared to the IRA. Okay, we're at the end of the show. As usual, I enjoy doing this show, always enjoy it. And I'm hopeful you'll listen to us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here on AM 700. For the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be A Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.